We hope you enjoy this podcast from Light Church Edithburg. To find out more about us, visit lightchurch.co.
Good to see you today. It's good to have a whole family back. I think we've had at least one person in the house sick for the last month. And we're good, we're firing. We've had a pretty good run before that. And I was joking, I don't think I've missed a service six since COVID 4 years ago. And I missed two in a month. What's going on? Come on, Ben. Get my act together. And it was quite ironic. I'm preaching the sermon I had last week, and the title is "Can You See?" Which is ironic because I woke up with diseased eyes last Sunday, and I'm like, God, well, that hurts my heart a little bit. But I was good by Monday lunch, so that's good. But we're going through Mark, so we're going to read the passage. It's basically the second half of the chapter of Mark 10. And then we'll talk about it after that. But can you see? Can you see? We're going to start at verse 32. It says, "They were now on the way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear." You understand? It's not like a, oh, what's going to happen fear, but it's a reverence kind of fear. And taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip and kill him. But after 3 days he will rise again." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor." "What's your request?" he said. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. One on your right, one on your left." But Jesus said to him, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," we replied, "we are able." Then Jesus told him, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." And then we get the response from the other 10 disciples when they realize what James and John have been asking. They're indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers in this world lord it over them, and officials flaunt their authority. But among you it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they reached Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples left a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," they yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Lord, we just come around your word today, Lord, and I pray, let it speak to our spirits, our minds, our hearts. God, lead us, give us life. Do what you want to do in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've got a short conversation that Jesus has on the road. We've got a strange request and a teaching and a healing of a blind man. And they seem pretty different, but I think they can all link together with the title, "Can You See?" Can you see? Let's start with a conversation on the road, and the disciples are following Jesus, and they're filled with awe of what's happening. And they've got all the crowd following him, and they're like, oh, this is just unbelievable. This is like, And then Jesus pulls him aside, hey guys, I'm about to be killed. But it's okay, I'm going to rise again. And they're filled with awe and what's about to happen. See, you see it a few times in Scripture, the disciples are wanting and expecting one thing where Jesus is up to another. You maybe don't read it in this part, but if you read it in a larger context, it's really there. There's another chance where a place where Peter, Jesus asks Peter, who do you say I am? Peter says, you're the Messiah. And then Jesus says, yeah, I am, and I'm going to die, and they're going to kill me. And then Peter's like, no. No, no, Jesus, you won't do that. And then Jesus goes, get behind me, Satan. He calls Peter the rock on which he'll build the church, and he calls him the devil. Things can change, right? And because Peter, he didn't want Jesus to die. He wanted Jesus to get rid of the Romans. See, the Roman Empire ruled that area, and they ruled it with an iron whip. You pay your taxes, you do what we say, oh, we'll kill you. And the Jews and the disciples and Peter, they wanted freedom and liberty, but not really for all humanity, for sin. They wanted it for their nation. You see it elsewhere. They say, oh, these temples are amazing, aren't they, Jesus? And it's like, oh, they'll be gone soon. They're not that impressive. They'll be destroyed. I'm the temple. And so again and again, the disciples are caught up in the now. They're caught up with not paying taxes. They're caught up with the Pharisees. They're caught up with Rome. But Jesus had a plan that was much bigger. He wanted to bring liberty and freedom, but he wanted to bring it for every race, every nation, for all time. And so my question to you is, can you see the bigger picture? Can you see the bigger picture? The disciples were so caught up in their freedom for their nation, for about Rome, but they couldn't see the bigger picture that was prophesied of Jesus. They couldn't see the bigger picture that Jesus wanted to save man, woman, sick, a tax collector, Roman, Jew, Gentile. Can you see the bigger picture? Jesus is again and again reminding him, no, I'm going to die. No, Jesus, that's not what we want. We just want you to be king, maybe lead an army, get our swords. Jesus is like, nah. Can you see the bigger picture? That's what it meant for them. What does it mean for us? When things aren't going to plan, can you see the bigger picture? We've had a funny month and people get sick and things break and tires go flat and you can get caught in, oh, woe is me. All the demons are against me and the storms of life and, oh, God, you save your hardest battles for your toughest soldiers, Lord. And a bit of Messiah complex about you. Oh, Lord, take this from me. I remember one night I was having a little whinge and then we sat down and we're like, actually, we're pretty blessed. People get sick, things break, the world goes on, we're really blessed. Can you see the bigger picture? When something happens in our world that's not what we agree with, can we still see God at work? Can we still see opportunity? The Olympics made some headlines, the opening ceremony. Yeah, it was wrong and gross. But I looked at the front paper of the Sunday Mail at the BP this morning as my friend Mate Glatzer, and the headline was, supported by the love of God and his wife, he overcomes cancer and wins bronze. That's a pretty good front page of the Sunday Mail. Can you see the bigger picture? When different churches do different things differently or have different things they emphasize, can we see the bigger picture? You know, their agenda, the Romans weren't good people. They didn't look after the needy. They were violent. They were oppressive, right? it wasn't a bad idea to like get them out of power. Right? Their agenda wasn't even all bad. But Jesus had a bigger plan. What's God's agenda? Heaven on earth. Salvation. Can we see the bigger picture? There's an Old Testament story of Elisha the prophet, and the enemy is at his door. There's an army at his door, and his servant freaks out. And he prays, "Lord, let him see the army behind." And God opened the servant's eyes, and there's God's army behind. Can we see the bigger picture? God's bigger, he's greater, he's more faithful, he's more powerful. Can we see the bigger picture? And then they go on, and James and John asked if they could be Jesus' special mates in heaven. It's the Ben commentary of it. Right. They must be like young dudes. Only young guys would ask someone like that, wouldn't they? Right. And she's like, "Mate, guys, you missed the whole point. Can you see? Can you see what really matters? Can you see what really matters?" Jesus said the first will be last. The greatest will be the one that serves. You know, it was the same then and it's the same now. In our world, outside the kingdom of God, you want to be known, you want to be rich, you want to be famous, you want to be liked, you want to be respected, you want to be the top guy. It was the same then with James and John, and it's kind of the same now. She said, "Nah, among you it's different. The kingdom of God is different. The first will be last, the greatest will serve." In our secular culture, what matters? Who's the richest? Who achieves the most? Who is most famous? Who is most admired? Who has the best stuff? Among you will be different. The greatest is the one who serves. And that's the Pharisees. They were puffed up. They were on another level. They wouldn't associate with the sick. They wouldn't associate with the tax collectors. Jesus said, "Among you it will be different." You know, there's nothing wrong with being successful. I think we should do the best of what we have. Whether that's our time, resources, health, money, there's nothing wrong with being successful. There's parables about using your talents. But what matters most? What do we hang our hat on at the end of the day? Is it what we've got, what we've achieved, what we've built up, or is it that we're God's son and daughter? That we're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're loved. What matters most when we look at other people? What they've done, what they've got, what they've achieved? Or that they're made in the image of God, valued by God? What matters most? What matters to us? If we're known by people, we're known by God. How do we see and value people? By our culture's standard or by God's standards? Hey, do we ever get focused on what doesn't really matter? Do we hang our hat on the stuff that isn't the most important? Can we see what really matters? I'll never forget, I think I was about 16 or 17, we were over living in Edithburg at that point, and I was visiting an old youth leader in Adelaide. And there was a guy that came along for a bit, and he left, and I said to the youth leader, I said, "See, that guy's a bit different, wasn't he? He's a bit of a strange unit, a bit of a different unit." And he said, "Mate, what? It's not how we treat people. It's not how you talk to people. It's not what matters." And I was like, "Yeah, actually. What matters most is we're made in the image of God, valued by God." But we can get fixated on stuff that doesn't matter. We're watching the Olympics. I love the running races in the Olympics, right? And we're watching the running races, and I went to bed, and I was dreaming that I was in the race. Right. And it wasn't a... The races are good, right? Because I like the longer distance ones because you get, you know, that's when you get like a bit of strategy, right? You see them, they play cat and mouse. They go slow, then they go fast at the end. And in my dream, I was coming up with a strategy for my race. And I won the first race. I was good. Then I woke up. But I was so fixated on it, I was still thinking about my next race. Like, you know, when you're half asleep, and I'm awake lying in bed, I'm like, oh, I've got my next race coming up. How should I run that race? Then I'm like, I've been thinking about a fake race for 45 minutes, and I'm in bed in Winalta. Like, what are you doing? Go to sleep. And I went to sleep. Right. And that's a ridiculous example, and I do that kind of thing often when I'm half asleep. But how often do we get fixated on stuff that is just ridiculous? That doesn't matter. Does what matter to Jesus matter to us? Or do we get caught up in rubbish? Do we get caught up in egos and disagreements? And does what matter to Jesus matter to us? And the last part, we're blind Bartimaeus. And I can see everyone here, and I think everyone's got some level of eyesight. Some level, right? Probably there's levels to it, isn't there? Right, but everyone's got some eyesight. And so, can you see what's right in front of you? Who's heard the expression of having a boy look, right? I can't find anything in our kitchen, right? I'll just be honest with you. Can I tell you? Like, I swear she moves the appliances every week, right? And the containers and the chopping boards, and whenever I need something, I can't find it, right? And then she manages to find it. She moves it. I'm telling you, she moves it. Every week I go to work, she just rearranges the house, right? And she sometimes even looks where I look, and it's there. It's just ridiculous. Right, can you see what... Proofreading. I can't proofread. I read what I want it to say in my head and I can't read anything else. All right, I'll make a flyer, I'll write a document or whatever. I've done a master's and I've got my bachelor of theology. I haven't done a draft in like 10 years because there's no point because I can't even read anything different. So I just write it and send it off, hope for the best. Right, there's no point. If the red squiggly line doesn't come up in Word, I can't see it. Right, I just can't see it. I read what I want to read. Send it to someone else. Can you see what's right in front of you? Can you see the blessings that are right in front of you? Can you see God's faithfulness that's right in front of you? Can you see the opportunities right in front of you? Or are you blinded by discouragement, by disappointment, by chaos? The disciples are in the boat and a huge storm comes and they're freaking out. Right. And Jesus is asleep. And they wake up, Jesus, don't you even care? Then Jesus rips into them. Different versions have it different. Right? He calms the storm and it really gives a strong rebuke. But where they just left from, he multiplied a bit of bread to feed thousands of people. Right? That's a pretty amazing miracle. It's like if the whole York Peninsula comes to Edithburg, about 15,000 people, and then we feed everyone with 5 loaves of bread. Like, let's actually talk about what it would look like. 5,000 men plus their families. So about 15,000 people come to Edithburg, and we're like, gee, we've only got, you know, 2 bits of whiting and 5 loaves of bread from Drake's. Like, this isn't going to go far. And we pray for it, and it feeds everyone. Like, would that stick in your memory? I think it would. And then they get in a boat, and they're like, geez, don't you even care about us? Don't you remember what he just did? Because what happens when things go wrong, when we're discouraged, when things are scary, when things give us fear or worry, we get blind. We don't see things clearly. Can you see what's right in front of you? There's a verse in Proverbs, eyes to see and ears to hear are both gifts from God. You know, sometimes we're looking so far in the distance, and it could even be for a good reason, but it could be for a bad reason, but we're going to lower our eyes and see what's right in front of us. I need to do that. I'm a big picture guy. And so I'm so excited about the future of our church and our family. And I can be looking 5 years ahead, but if that's all I do, I miss everyone that's right in front of me. I miss the miracles right in front of me. But sometimes we get, I just can't wait to get out of this season. I just can't wait till the kids are older. I can't wait till they get their life together. Or I can't wait till I can retire. And then we miss all the blessings and the miracles and the opportunities right here. But sometimes life's so difficult right now, and we're just so fixated, we've just got to turn our head and see the opportunity and see the miracle and see the God's faithfulness. Can we see what's right in front of us? Can we see what's right in front of us? The blessings, the provision, God's presence, the people in your life, the opportunities to share the gospel, the relationships, the business opportunity. Can you see God's faithfulness? Can you see what's right in front of you? You know, life's complex. We make mistakes, people make mistakes, stuff happens, right? But in every season, there's opportunities, there's blessings, there's God's presence. Can we see what's right in front of us? We're just going to have some time in worship, and I'm going to pray that God helps us see some things. We're just going to wait on God, and I'm going to pray that He helps us see. Some of us, I think God's going to help us see the bigger picture. You might be so fixated on something that's wrong or something like that. God wants to just lift your head and see Him at work. I think some of you, God's going to put on your heart what really matters. You know, things matter, but what matters most? I feel like God's going to touch on some things and bring some freedom. You've been consumed with things that don't need to consume you. I believe God just wants to bring some freedom and just, hey, you can let that one go. I believe God wants to help us see some stuff that's right in front of us. I believe there's opportunities right in front of us we miss all the time. I believe there's best blessings right in front of us we don't even acknowledge. I believe there's God's faithfulness and presence we forget that's even there. I believe there's provision and people in our lives that God's put there and we miss it because we can get so fixated. We can get blinded. But things going wrong by discouragement, and that stuff's real. But Jesus is in that boat. Hey, your life might be chaos right now. Things might not be going well, but Jesus is right there with you. Can you see Him? There's blessings right there. Can you see it? There's people around you. Can you see it? Can you see what's right in front of you? Some of you, you might be so consumed with maybe financial difficulty, but can you see the opportunity God wants for you? God's got creative ideas for us. Can you see it? Can you see it? Because the Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth. And God's presence speaks to us. And that can look like so many different things. It can look like a vision. It can look like a picture. It can look like a word. It can look like when something's shared in read or in a sermon and it just burns in your spirit. That's like God speaking. Sometimes God speaks through someone else. Sometimes we hear the spontaneous voice that brings life. But can we just stop and be led by God? Can He just touch something and say, nah, that doesn't matter. I want to bring you freedom. God, help us see. Help us see. Help us see. Proverbs, eyes to see, ears to hear. Both are gifts from God. You know, some people get so caught up with, am I in the will of God? I think God's pretty gracious. He's our Father in heaven, right? And I hope to have a really good relationship with my kids as they get older, as should go without saying, right? And I'd like to think that I'll be close enough to my kids, I can like just tell them, maybe try that or try something different or speak into their lives. And for some reason, we think God will make his will hard for us to discern. I think if we create time and space to hear from God, I think he'll tell us what we need to know. I think he'll show us what we need to know. I don't think he's this mysterious, far-off God that we need a code to crack. He's close, he's near, he wants to bring life and freedom. If we create space and time, he'll show us, he'll tell us what we need to know. But it's stopping, it's waiting. God, do I need to see the bigger picture? God, do I need to see what really matters? Do I need to let go of some stuff? God, am I missing something that's right in front of me? So I reckon we'll just do that, wait on you. I'm just going to just wait on God's presence. Just wait. Just be still. And invite him to show us if there's anything we need to see. Holy Spirit, I just pray for vision. I pray for clarity. I pray for perspective. Holy Spirit, speak signs, wonders, words, people, Lord God. Help us to see the blessings, the provision, the opportunity right in front of us. God, help us to see what really matters. Help us to see the bigger picture. Holy Spirit, you know each of us individually and corporately. You can speak into our past, our present, our future. Help us see today. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we wait on you.